So how's the business world viewing the new political landscape? Because of that much-discussed Supreme Court ruling freeing corporations, unions, and special interest groups to spend on political campaigns, businesses did spend a record amount on these midterm elections. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce lobbying group alone spent a record $75 million promoting pro-business candidates. And according to the chair, Thomas Donohue, they expect results.
Congress will have another opportunity to make restoring economic growth its top priority. And with more balance, they will have to work on a bipartisan basis to achieve it. This time, they must take advantage of it.
Reporter Mark Drejum surveys the new landscape for Bloomberg News. And Mark, you spoke to analysts, Republican lobbyists. Just tick through some of the things business expects from the new pro-business climate. Start with health care.
One of the overarching views of business is they're hoping to either curb or weaken the president on a lot of different issues that they think the president has overreached on over the last 2 years. And as you mentioned, health care is front and center. And so what they're looking for in that area is they're looking for all the rules that are going to have to be put in place to implement the health care bill that was put through to scale those back in some way. So one of the things that's been talked about, and in fact the president talked about it the day after the election, is there's a tax provision in there that's going to require small businesses to disclose all the payments they make. Small businesses say that's going to be overwhelming for them, and Republicans and Democrats have talked about changing that somehow, and the details of how that's done is going to be difficult, but that's one of the things they're looking at in terms of scaling back the health care provision.
Well, and that seems like the easiest one. You know, everybody thought it might be tough for some businesses to list all expenditures over $600, but what about requirements about how much health insurers spend on patient care, or the big question about taxes on medical device makers?
The one thing that the business groups mention is that the Republicans took control of one house of Congress, but there's two houses of Congress, and the president has a veto pen. So they don't expect the kind of massive overhaul that's been talked about during the campaign to go through. And so there's only going to be things that are going to happen that they're going to be able to get bipartisan compromise on. And that hasn't been much in evidence over the last 2 years. And analysts, either with the business lobbyists or outside, don't think there's going to be much of it in the next couple of years.
Well, but there's also seeming to be some disconnect to us because health care reform has a mandate, just like the Massachusetts law written under then-Governor Mitt Romney that it was based on, that people be required to have insurance or that they or their employers have to pay a fine. Now, we're told that insurers loved that aspect of health care reform because they wanted all these new customers. So will there be some disagreement within the business community?
You make a great point. When we here in Washington talk about what business wants, we talk about them as if they're a unified entity. And on that provision, there are some folks that want that to stay in place, and there might be some people who want it rolled back. Another obvious example is the cap-and-trade legislation that passed the House, never really came up in the Senate during the past 2 years, and now appears to be dead. There were some companies who were looking forward to that legislation because they thought it would give them certainty and give them ability to invest in the future on new solar or wind or other kinds of projects, and that's not going to happen now. So the business community is not necessarily unified on some of these different issues.
What about the Bush tax cuts? You have Rand Paul in Kentucky on election night seeming, I think, to quote Ayn Rand. Let's listen.
We all either work for rich people or we sell stuff to rich people. So just punishing rich people is as bad for the economy as punishing anyone. Let's not punish anyone. Let's keep taxes low and let's cut spending.
But the White House is saying the president will not compromise on these Bush tax cuts. Again, the president doesn't want to extend the tax breaks for the very rich, as Republicans like Rand Paul do. But we're also hearing that there are proposals from Democrats floating around that would, for instance, extend the cutoff for extending the tax cuts to families making more than $500,000 as opposed to $250,000. So is there a feeling that there might be compromise?
You mentioned the first thing that every business lobbyist talks about when they talk about what's going to happen next is what's going to happen with the Bush tax cuts. That's the thing they're most concerned about. And in fact, I was on a call the day after the election with analysts from J.P. Morgan Chase. And one of the things they predict is that there is going to be some extension of these tax cuts, and it's going to lead to a huge boon in small business investing next year. So the stock market guys really think this is important for the economy, while many others say that it's only a small percentage of the population that makes over $250,000. The betting here is that there's going to be some kind of compromise, and it's going to be extended at least for 2 years for everyone or for the majority of folks, that there's going to be some kind of a deal worked out on the tax cuts.
How about financial reform? The Democrat Barney Frank will no longer head the House Financial Services Committee. He and Christopher Dodd, who's retiring, wrote the law that was supposed to rein in abuses. And also there's the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. What's happening with all of that?
There are 240 different regulations that need to be written and put in place to implement that legislation. And along the way, the Republicans are going to be able to use their majority to make sure that those rules are not, in their mind, overwhelming to the business community. And again, there's not the expectation that the legislation will be overhauled or that there will be major changes to it.
Well, and another place where there might be good news for bipartisanship, free trade. You say that Republican control of the House might provide the best chance to pass free trade agreements with South Korea, Colombia, Panama. These are agreements that were approved by President Bush back in 2007.
President Obama is going to be going to South Korea next week, and he's hoping to rework some provisions on autos and on beef with South Korea so that he can then present that agreement to Congress. And these are huge, huge priorities for groups like the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, which, as you noted at the beginning, spent a lot of money this year targeting Democrats and by extension, President Obama.
Mark, what would you like to leave us with that strikes you as an issue that's going to be percolating now that Republicans control Congress?
A huge issue during the campaign, which wasn't kind of front and center, but a lot of different candidates brought it up, was taxing companies for their overseas income. So companies that offshore jobs should face higher taxes. Many candidates, both Democrat and Republican, said during the campaign. But now, with the Republicans taking control of Congress, that proposal or that idea is even less likely to come to pass because Republicans and the business community are adamantly opposed to it. So you have a situation where the populist rhetoric during the campaign actually is going to be less likely to come to fruition with the new Congress.
How does that go over with the Republican base, many of whom are so opposed to offshoring jobs?
Right. Well, that's going to be one of the interesting things to look at, whether these issues start to backfire with independent and with Republican voters. You had mentioned free trade earlier, and it turned out that a majority of Tea Party voters are opposed to free trade agreements. Mm. And so if you have the Congress working together on areas that the base and the independent voters are opposed to, it's going to be interesting to see whether that is seen as a positive or a negative among voters 2 years from now.
Mark Drajan, Bloomberg News, will link you to his article about how companies are poised to take advantage of the Republican wins in the midterms at herenow.org. Mark, thank you.
Thank you, Robin.